Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you each and every morning by Hillbean Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hillbean. We're going to talk today with Laura Siebert from Arts Quincy about a very special topic. Good morning, Laura. Glad to have you alongside.
Good morning. I missed you. We're having a crazy time at my house. That's all right.
That's okay. Well, let's start our conversation this morning by saying that, yes, I can hear you're crazy. I can hear you're crazy.
No, wait, darn it. I'm sorry. I'm going to walk. Yeah, they're really here. My babysitter has got the corona, so we're
locked
up. So
we're home.
She's doing fine, everybody. She's doing fine.
Well, today you come to praise a man who passed away recently, George Irwin. So let's just get right to it. Laura, eulogize this man and talk about what he has done in his 99 years for this community.
Gosh, it'd be easier to talk about what he hasn't done for 99 years. We had been assembling, prior to his death last week, had been assembling sort of a Wikipedia page for him. And his resume is like 15 people's resume. I mean, it's just amazing to consider the amount of work he did. Besides founding my organization, Arts Quincy, Quincy Society of Fine Arts, which is America's very first arts council, he founded the Illinois Arts Council, the Americans for the Arts. He was part of the founding of the National Endowment for the Arts. He was the first conductor and organizer of the Quincy Symphony Orchestra of Civic Music. I mean, if it's an organization in Quincy, he's been its chairperson. If it's an organization at the state level, he's probably been its chairperson, too. And really, he just dedicated his life to not just being a creative person, because I think a lot of people can do that, but also being collaborative and saying, hey, we can all do better if we do it together and make a bigger impact for the arts. And I was lucky enough to know him. I really get to know him in the last 4 years. We had been writing letters back and forth, and, you know, he comments on every Arts Quincy magazine, and he listens to you every Wednesday on the radio and makes sure that I'm representing the arts well. in the last 4 years, it's been a real privilege to get to know him.
I have known George, of course, all my life. When I was a small child, the name George Irwin was, skyscraper tall in Quincy. And, of course, he had a business career. You know, he made his family had a family business, and he worked in that family business. But you didn't hear much about George's professional life. You heard mostly about George Irwin's life of philanthropy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're fine. Hey, children. I guess he wants mommy, right?
They do.
They
I'm
do.
Sorry.
They want mommy. But let's talk a little bit about, real quickly, because I will let you go, because we understand, Laura, that this is perfectly understandable. We can do it again next week, too, because George Irwin's legacy is going to take years to really digest.
Take a minute, yeah.
But it was his, not just his willingness to put his personal efforts into this, but also, let's be honest, he wrote the check.
Absolutely, absolutely. His investment in the arts is huge. And, you know, one of the things that we were kind of archiving is his investment in artists. So he liked to purchase art, and I think that's such an underappreciated thing. When you buy a piece of art, whether it's a $20 piece of jewelry or a $100,000 painting, you are supporting an artist making a career out of art. And he was very big on that individual artist support, so much so that it's part of the charter of Arts Quincy to support individual artists. So when you look at projects like our sculpture project that we did this year, putting 8 pieces of sculpture up, that's part of that original charter to say, hey, we're going to buy art. We're going to support artists making a career out of this, because it shouldn't just be a volunteer gig. You know, so that's absolutely part of his legacy. Actually, if I can get all emotional on you, because you know that's going to happen. George was big on commissioning music as well. He commissioned several pieces for the Quincy Symphony and other places, and sort of inspired me. And I actually commissioned a brass quintet this year, personally, not from Arts Quincy, did it personally, following George's lead. So, I think supporting artists is a huge part of what he did.
Well, he certainly did. And you, again, were able to have that personal relationship with him that so many people would prize. The last,
you know, Mary,
one of the last things you did was tell him about the big grant to restore the old Quincy Public Library at 4th and Main. And he could not have been happier, because even at 99, he was sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, so I went over there in early May, which is just around his birthday. So he just turned 99, and I brought him some wine because that's what I do on his birthday, and told him about this $1.5 million that we're getting for the museum. We're going to expand access. We're going to put an elevator in it. And as soon as I got done telling him, first of all, he had like this magnetic smile, you know, it's just sort of light up a room smile. But not only did he like have a lot of excitement about this project, but even at 99, he was very forward looking, like, okay, this is one thing we can do, but you know what else we could do? We could for Washington Theater, we could do this, this, and this, and for the mansion, we could do this, this, and this, and we got to find dollars for that, that, and that. And I thought, whew. I wanted the energy and the creativity and the excitement that he had at 99 today. It was just amazing, and he always wanted the best for this community and wanted us to treasure all these great things that we have and to really make sure that everybody got to experience those things.
Well, certainly he will be well remembered. Thank you so much for sharing some of your memories with George today. We will talk to you again next week. If for some reason that's just too crazy for you, Lori, you let us know, because mommy is your first and best job, and we understand that. So you go hug and love on those kiddos. And and speaking of wine, you're going to need a glass today.
Golly, you know, it's a crazy time for a lot of parents, and I'm lucky to be able to juggle it while I have to. So, you know, I've always got my new programs manager. I might send him over for a day at Mary. He could reach you.
Okay. I think we need to see Arts Quincy from a 4-year-old or 7-year-old's perspective. You've got it right. Thank you so very much, Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. Folks, for all information about Arts Quincy, go to artsquincy.org for everything that's happening in our community. Thanks, Laura. We are going to step aside, let Laura get the pots and pans back in the cabinet, because it sounds like they've got their own band going on there at the Sievert House. It's 9:23. Coming up, we're going to talk about basket blessings or blessing baskets. I don't know. People say, why don't you know, Mary? It's your show. Hey, and I don't always know everything that's going to happen on my show. Some days I just learn right along with you. Today's one of those days. I'm looking forward to learning all about it. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're trying to pull off 3 people in different locations. We'll see if we can pull it off here on the Mary Griffith Show. We have Annabelle Schaffnett here in the studio with me, representing the Willing Workers 4-H. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning.
Good morning. And hopefully we have Betsy Bauer, the 4-H coordinator for the Willing Workers, on the phone line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, can you hear her? Did you just hear her say good morning? Perfect. Guess what? It's a miracle, but it's going to work. Mary Griffith has pulled off pushing the right 3 buttons. I can't believe it could happen. We're going to talk today about a blessing basket, or is it a basket of blessings? I'm totally confused, or does it make a difference which way I say it, Annabelle?
I think it can go either way.
Either way. So let's talk about this fundraiser. Betsy, I'm going to let Annabelle kind of shine here for a minute, let her do some of the talking, but you hop in if she misses anything, okay?
Absolutely.
So, Annabelle, what is the blessing basket from 4-H?
They're just baskets full of little goodies that we will be handing out to the Blessing Hospital here in Quincy to help out our nurses and healthcare workers.
Okay, so this is something that you are assembling, the Willing Workers are assembling, and then you'll take it to Blessing Hospital, and then the nurses and healthcare professionals there who are on the front lines definitely will be able to have a little pick-me-up, and a little thank you will be said to them. That's fantastic. I know there's raisinettes. I see some raisins in there, some lip balm, nutty butters, you know, M&Ms, all kinds of good things, some healthy things, lots of coffee, caramel cappuccino coffee, and all kinds of good things for the nurses and the healthcare workers to grab when they get a break in time. How did you come about this ideal, Annabelle Schaffnett? How did the 4-H Willing Workers Club say, this is what we want to do? Is this something you've done in the past, or is this all new this year?
No, this is actually all new because of COVID. And it actually started because I heard that a lot of the nurses and doctors and just healthcare in general were really struggling and getting very frustrated with like how much they're working and how much they're doing and all the overtime they're having to work. So my club and I decided that they need a little like treat for how much hard work they're doing. So we came up with these basket ideas.
Great idea, great idea. A little thank you, and we know that you may not be able to take a full hour for lunch or dinner, or at 3 o'clock in the morning you may just be exhausted, so grab some raisins or grab some M&Ms and perk up your spirits with a cup of caramel cappuccino and kind of know that somebody's thinking about you. Betsy Bauer, let's talk a little bit about your 4-H Willing Workers Club, one of the better clubs, I'm sure, in the tri-state area because of all the projects you're involved in. What do you say when your kids come up with an idea like this? How much of this is student-driven? How much of it is adult-driven?
Yeah, so, wow. What I first of all have to say, these kids are absolutely amazing, and it is, you know, it's student-driven. I mean, these kids just, they have really come up with some wonderful ideas and projects to present to the community, and it's absolutely incredible.
So when they get an idea like this, where do you get the money? Because you had to buy all of this stuff. So where do the IRSA Willing Workers 4-H Club get their funding for this?
Yeah, so Annabelle has been working really hard on different grants and such to pull through to help with the funds for this. And then we're also just accepting donations. So anybody in the community can drop off donations. We're encouraging other clubs to get involved and put together a little basket, and anybody can participate.
This is wonderful. And in each basket, you've got, you know, the little sign that says help yourself, and it's just a thank you for the sacrifices you've made during the pandemic and really every day throughout the year. I think sometimes it takes something like this for us to really appreciate the hard work that our healthcare professionals put in. And we do hear a lot about doctors and nurses, but remember, this basket will be out for everybody, the respiratory therapists, the ladies who are dietitians. You know, it's amazing when the hospital gets full like it is now. Everybody's working overtime, I'm sure. Annabelle Schaffnitt, great idea. Great to get your 4-H friends involved. What do you want to say, and I'll ask this to both of you. We'll let Annabelle answer first. What do you want to say about people who think 4-H is just raising a crop or raising a cow or sewing a skirt or, you know, doing something like that? This seems to be not what most people think of when they think of 4-H.
Yeah, well, to me, 4-H is mainly about community service. And anybody can be in 4-H. It doesn't matter, like, how smart you are or how athletic you are. It's for anybody that has an interest in just wanting to help out other people.
I think that you're helping a lot to take the myth off of it that it's just farm kids, or you have to live and be in a working farm operation. Certainly in the Mendon School District, many of the students have access firsthand to a working farm. But like you said, it's really about community service, because the 4-H pledge, I don't know it because I was never in 4-H, but can you recite the pledge? Because it's all about, really, service, isn't it?
Yeah. It goes, I pledge my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
Wow, that's great. So right there, the 4-H pledge. Betsy Bauer, how do you, you know, you are a 4-H director in a very rural community. I think a lot of people would think this is a little bit out of the box for 4-H, you know, they think of mostly at the county fair. What do you say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I really love to tell people that 4-H is more than just showing your projects at the fair or going to a leadership conference or doing something along that manner. But it's also, like Annabelle said, it's about giving our hands to larger service. And this project really exemplifies that in giving back to the community.
How many of these baskets, Annabelle, are you going to be delivering? And, you know, is there a plan to replenish them? Or is it like, that's another 4-H clubs? Let them, you know, that would be your challenge to them. We put out the first round, second round's on you. How many of these are you going to be distributing?
Well, as of right now, we don't quite know how many we're going to have. But we're saying the more the merrier.
Right.
And for a couple of the grants that I have applied for, we're expecting those that if we get the money. We're expecting that to come after we deliver the first batch of baskets. So we will most likely have more than just one batch of baskets going to the
So you've got to, whatever cash flow will allow, you'll do now and then wing in a prayer and hope that the grant money comes in. So this is going to be ongoing. Will it continue past the holidays, or is it kind of a holiday project?
Well, honestly, as of right now, we don't quite know.
Right.
But if it goes past the holidays, I think that would be great.
That will be great, because this COVID's not going to go away for a while. The first people to get vaccinated will be our healthcare workers. But people like you and me, well, people like you probably won't get one for a really long time. People like me, I'm old. I'm old and frail. But I'm still going to be not in the first tier. I'm probably not even in the second tier. So it's going to take a while for us to lick this virus. Betsy Bauer, Annabelle was here a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how things have looked different. 4-H, how has 4-H been able to pivot and still have meetings, still have club outings, still do these service projects when sometimes meeting has been a difficult thing?
Yeah, so we have really transitioned into that online format and doing things virtual. 4-H meetings have been virtual via Zoom. And we, this year we did our fair, was a little different. Obviously it was not in person. It was online as well. So we have really transitioned, and our clubs have really transitioned well into that, and really, just doing what we can for the kids and keeping things rolling as they should, because, these kids deserve it, and we're doing everything in our power to continue things for them.
I know the FFA convention had to go virtual this year. I'm sure there's some kind of gathering of 4-H. I'm sure the kids always look forward to going to, like, the state convention, if there is such a thing. That probably was not in the works this year either, was it?
No, it wasn't.
And when do we anticipate, well, I guess we can't anticipate, but do you think it'll be scheduled next year? Is it late enough in the year, or that you think COVID will be okay and relaxed, or when is it, and where do you usually meet?
Well, there isn't really a state convention,
okay,
so to speak, but we do have different, like, leadership conferences that, the 4-H'ers can go to over the summer, and a lot of those have already been said they're going to be virtual.
Okay.
So that's kind of where things are looking at right now, but you never know, things can turn around, and we hope that they do.
And we hope that they do. Betsy Bauer, the director of 4-H for the URSA Willing Workers Club. Annabelle Schaffnett is here, and she and her fellow 4-H members have purchased all kinds of treats, most of them healthy snacks. Those M&Ms have some redeeming value, I'm sure. But most of these are healthy snacks for the nurses, doctors, and medical personnel at Blessing Hospital. They'll be delivering these baskets and hopefully replenishing these baskets, delivering more baskets. And this is kind of a great idea. This is the kind of idea, Annabelle, you wouldn't mind if somebody stole this and took it down to Illini Hospital, Hannibal Regional Hospital, Carthage, Rushville, Passavant over in Jacksonville, Kirksville, Scotland, poor Scotland County. They've only got 25 beds, and they're at maximum capacity and overwhelmed. So everybody could use this kind of boost. Give a call out, shout out there to your peer group to get going on this. Go ahead. Just encourage everyone to do this.
Oh, yeah. Anybody can do this at their own local hospitals. Actually, I'm encouraging other people to do it because, like, I'm in Quincy here, so I can't really go to, somewhere in Missouri
and
help their hospital.
Right, you have to do your own local thing. But this is something that's easily can be replicated all across if there are some youngsters, whether it's 4-H or, whatever. Oh-ho! A new technology. Well, I thank you. Is there anything I wasn't smart enough to ask that Betsy Bauer or Annabelle Schaffnett want to add? Betsy, anything that you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to add that we are going to be taking donations from the community, whoever wants to be involved and help with this project. So December 7th through the 11th and the 14th through the 18th, people are able to drop things off outside of the extension office at 330 South 36th Street in Quincy. And we're going to have a tote outside the door from 8 to 4:30 during the next 2 weeks, so starting on the 7th. So feel free to drop anything off if anybody would like to donate.
Okay, that sounds great. That's a way that everybody can get involved at the University of Illinois Extension Office, 330 South 36th Street here in Quincy. And the kind of things that you're looking for, what kind of things, Annabelle, are you putting in there? Do you have kind of a preferred list if people are dropping stuff off?
Honestly, you can put anything you want in these baskets. But a couple items that we've already had donated are Crystal Light packages, any kind of candy bars, pre-packaged Rice Krispie treats, granola bars, beef jerky, fruit, cookies or crackers, little like stress balls, chapsticks, gum, mints, hot chocolate mixes, those coffee pods you were talking about earlier, and lotion, just like any little prepackaged goodie.
Right, especially any kind of food that packs a lot of protein and energy, because literally they're unable to leave their desk sometimes. I mean,
yeah.
They're so busy caring for patients that they're kind of used. I mean, I think most medical workers are kind of used to skipping a regular one-hour lunch hour, but they're used to getting at least 5 minutes. So let's hope that they can open up a nice box of raisins or a candy bar or a nice protein bar. I've even taken to eating. There's one. It says it's full of protein. It's also full of sugar. They don't put that on the front. But I love the lemon zest bars that they sell at Walgreens. So if you really want to treat somebody to a sugar high, even though it says it's full of protein, and it is, but it doesn't say until the real fine print on the back how full of sugar it is. So, well, thank you so very much, Betsy, for your time today. Thank you, Annabelle Schaffnett, for coming by. It's the Ursa Willing Workers 4-H Club, and they are doing this for Blessing Hospital. And you can help them by dropping off items all next week, and the next 2 weeks, actually, Monday through Friday, at the Extension Office, 330 South 36. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we will take a break and head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's happening in our farm markets, brought to you by Rex Battery. I was in Rex Battery yesterday to buy batteries, and let me tell you, I think a lot of people think, well, Rex Battery is such a specialized place, that would be expensive. No, I bought 24 batteries for what I would have paid for 12 at my regular big box discount store. So there's my little plug for Rex Battery. It's a great place to get batteries for your remote control. My Hallmark Channel surfing has forced me to buy new batteries. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Nat King Cole, caroling, caroling. Fortunately, we don't have any snow, and we don't want any either, so let's keep that at bay for sure. Temperature, it's cold, folks. We're going to have a high temperature today, only up around 46 degrees. But this sunshine, if you're out in it, there's not that big of a breeze, so that'll be kind of nice. Lots of great things are happening. We've started playing Christmas music here on WTAD. A lot of people are commenting on the beautiful lights the district has put up in Washington Park Square and all around our downtown district area. I add my kudos to those. Tomorrow on the Mary Griffith Show, we're going to talk with a volunteer from Golden, Illinois, Robin Walker, how they have decorated Golden for the Christmas season. You know, these small towns, it takes a lot of money to make these Christmas decorations and put them up and everything. So we'll learn more about that tomorrow from Robin Walker. We've got some free time here this morning. If you've got a comment that you'd like to make, give us a call at 223-9300. 1-800-228-WTAD, but don't wait too long. I'd be curious. Yesterday, I really enjoyed my conversation with Emergency Services Manager John Simon, and he says, you know, we hear a lot about how many people are in the hospital, but fortunately, they are still maintaining, you know, they haven't filled completely at Blessing Hospital. They're working on ways to continue to make sure that everybody gets the care that they need, and that's certainly not true in some hospitals elsewhere. Blessing had to take a patient out of the St. Louis metro area this week because there were no beds in St. Louis. So some hospitals are becoming overwhelmed, but not Blessing and not our ambulance service as well. So a lot of people are maintaining. We're also going to be expanding that COVID-19 rapid testing at 33rd and Broadway. It was scheduled to kind of end this Friday, but they're going to keep it up through the new year. So if you want a rapid 19 COVID test, you can get it. They won't be open this weekend. They're going to kind of boot and start over again. with a new staffing program. They still need volunteers, of course, but you're supposed to wait 7 days after you think you were exposed for the antibodies to work up. You should be quarantining that whole time, of course. But so if you went somewhere over Thanksgiving, Friday is probably the day you'll want to be tested for COVID. 223-9300-1-800-228-WTAD. Dial now, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about on The Mary Griffith Show. Funny story came across my desk this morning. You know, the Associated Press sends out a lot of interesting stories, and Steve and I, of course, chuckle and laugh, and sometimes we get to share them with you. This morning, there was a story about a woman, and she's a cancer survivor. And so when she was 5 years cancer-free earlier this year, before COVID hit, she celebrated by buying herself a seahorse. Yes, you heard me. She bought a seahorse for herself. Now, I remember when we were little, you could kind of send away for a seahorse, I guess is a good way to put it. And it'd come in the mail and, you know, you'd rejuvenate it. And this seahorse would live in your aquarium. Well, this lady had a seahorse and she named it Louie. And she loved her little seahorse. It reminded her of being cancer-free. Well, Louie got sick and couldn't swim very well. And so she went on some website to look up seahorse health. And she figured out that Louie was suffering from what's called bubble disease, which is basically a form of the bends. You know, when you go scuba diving and you come up too fast, you get a bubble in your lung and you get the bends and it can be, you know, kill you and it can be very damaging. So now this is a seahorse. I don't know what she paid for this seahorse, but I mean, this is the length she went to. She went, took this seahorse to the University of Florida Veterinary Center, where they put her seahorse in a bariatric chamber, which controls the pressure on you. And the seahorse was revived from having the bends by going in the same kind of bariatric pressure chamber that people are put into. But this was at the veterinary school. So this apparently happens to aquatic animals every once in a while. So if you ever think you love your pet, this chick really loves her pet. She spent that kind of money on a seahorse. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Stay tuned.